when you first come in and think about what needs to be done, what's your process?
There's definitely a bunch of different components to it. You know, while you're considering taking a job, you know, to lead another program, the first thing that's probably running through your mind is staff makeup before you even take it. It's, can I put together a staff at that particular place that's going to allow me to be successful? The next thing is evaluating the talent and people in and around the program. The players with eligibility, you know, the people that work in academic support, the people that work in marketing, how many assets or quality people can I get more out of? So identifying the people that were part of a struggling program that have potential to be part of the solution. You're trying to identify that and developing relationships with those people. Can I hire the type of staff I want? What people that were part of this struggling organization can I get more out of? And then you immediately start to develop a relationship and build some trust with the families, you know, around the current players that you want to return, and get to know those players and develop a relationship. And then, yeah, obviously, you're looking at other things too, like, are the facilities up to par? Are we marketing the program correctly? Are we making the gains in strength and conditioning? Do we need to change that facility? Is it good enough to get what we want out of it? Finally, you get to recruiting, infusing the type of talent you need to at a place like this.
Although it's not unique, but it's unusual. I think that you spent a lot of time as a high school coach, which not necessarily all college coaches have done. How has that helped you from having been on the receiving end of recruiting and understanding it from that perspective?
The time at St. Benedict's coached high-level players, but it just gave me a perspective on recruiting. I got a chance to see kind of what worked and what didn't work, which programs were successful with how they approached it, recruiting, and why. It just gave me an in-depth look into the thought process behind high school-age players and their mentors and why they made the choices they made with that next destination in terms of recruiting. And then for me, it just taught me I don't have bad habits as a coach, because I never did it to make a lot of money. I coached at the high school level because I love being a coach. I love having an impact on kids' lives. So for me, like, I haven't gotten away from those values, even though my career trajectory has changed since high school. I still do this job with the heart and mind of a high school coach.
And looking at the games last year, you had 8 games with losses that were 8 points or less, which means the kids were competitive and you were coaching hard and everybody was moving towards the goal. What did you learn from last year and as the season progressed that's prepared you for this year?
It was a typical year one for me. I've been through this 2 other times in college where it's like you have to find joy or encouragement in like the small wins, and small wins are being competitive, playing really, really good teams when we're incredibly undermanned. Playing Houston at the Excel Center last year, and you know, we're beat up with injuries, yet you know, we find ourselves, you know, battling back and giving ourselves a chance to be competitive late in the game. So you just look at the work ethic changing, the competitiveness changing, the team becoming tougher minded, more well connected. Those are the things you're looking for in years 1 and 2 until the talent gap is shortened and we have more of the type of roster that you would expect here.
This year, the biggest missing piece was Jalen Adams from last year. A lot of scoring has left, but you're still returning a lot of talented players who have now become the embodiment of your philosophy on the court.
Yes.
Who are you looking to for leadership this year? Because that's always a big issue. And who do you think has potential to keep that going as they move on?
You miss Jalen. Jalen was a tremendous player, a gifted player. And, you know, it's tough in a transition year. You don't get a lot of the leadership in terms of the players because it's that year one, they don't really understand what the standard is and the expectations that I have. And it's hard when you've known each other for such a short amount of time to get that full buy-in. Now that we've spent so much time together, Al, Tariq, Christian, obviously need tremendous leadership from them. They need to really be the heartbeat of the team. And then, you know, we need a lot out of the junior class. I've harped on it internally. you know, and externally with the media, the need for Josh Carlton and Tyler Polley and Sid Wilson and Isaiah Whaley as juniors to step out of the shadows now and step to the forefront and really be accountable and understand that it's their time at UConn to step forward. They're upperclassmen, and they have a lot of experience. We returned 7 guys that played minutes for us last year. That's a lot of experience. We expect to play like a veteran team. Obviously, we've got to integrate some young talent, but we've got some older players that should step up.
The familiarity with the league from last year, because you were in it for the first time, certainly is going to give you some more insight preparing. How is that going to be for you now compared to last year when you came in and you literally didn't know most of the teams?
Easier for me. So much easier in terms of even little things like planning out the travel of when you want to fly out and when you want to arrive and things to look for with certain coaches and the little wrinkles that they like to throw into games at both ends of the court, their system, their style. But I would say overall, just, you know, knowing how this league plays, how it's officiated, and understanding a lot more of the tendencies that particular coaches on both ends of the court will help.
I have to ask because I think it's a thing that a lot of UConn fans and alumni are always interested in is when you go into New York to the Garden for the Jimmy V Classic. When a player goes in there for the first time, what do they feel like? And what did you feel like the first time you went in there?
Just a ton of electricity and energy and a lot of looking around, you know, a lot of, you know, when you take the cargo elevator up, it's a unique thing. When you walk down the hallway and you see, you know, the pictures of Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier and Billy Joel and Elton John and Willis Reed. And if you're a historian and you love sports and you have an appreciation for, I guess, entertainment and history, and it's just walking around, your head's on a swivel when you take your first couple shots in the pregame warm-up. It's just like everything is kind of surreal. It's a special noise. It's a special buzz in there. I remember playing Indiana there when I was at Seton Hall and going in layup lines in the pregame and seeing Bobby Knight on the sideline and just saying, man, I can't believe it. I'm playing Indiana at the Garden with Bobby Knight over there. So it's crazy. Yeah, welcome to Madison Square Garden, the world's most famous arena. Yeah,
John Condon saying it too.
Yeah, it's like, come on, you get chills. And, you know, last year, obviously, it went my way. Night one, you know, Syracuse, that was fun. You know, one day, what is that, one day a peacock, the next day a feather duster or whatever. You know, next day got thrown out of the Iowa game. And then we played Villanova there before Christmas. I think we were up 2 or 3 going into the under 16 media timeout second half, kind of walking around saying, hey, this job's not that hard. And then the ship kind of hit the iceberg there before you knew it. You know, Villanova put a 21-1 run on us. So, yeah, I mean, it was exhilarating. I can't wait to go back there, you know, when we have the type of team that that'll represent UConn even better.
Let's look a little bit ahead. First half of the season, from the beginning till conference begins, is always a time of experimentation and learning and figuring things out. What are you trying to figure out for this first part of the season?
What we're really focused on right now is the defensive end of the court. You know, our transition defense, our ball screen defense, how we're going to guard dribble handoffs, just how we're going to treat any of the different types of actions that you'll play against from a man defensive perspective. The best way to make a big jump is to take good shots, to take care of the basketball. But I think the quickest way is to play incredibly hard, you know, and play top 50 level defense nationally in terms of efficiency. So it's really been our focus. And again, when you have 7 returning players that played for you, you hope that you could be really, really good defensively. Obviously, we've got to integrate, you know, the 3 or 4 freshmen, you know, into the mix with those 7 returners, and they're all talented players. But our focus has been at the defensive end, closeout technique, and just being a really solid defensive team.
And then the conference. It's a tough conference because of the travel and the quality of teams that are there.
Yeah.
But what are you looking to do initially that'll carry you through towards the end of the season in the conference tournament?
It begins and ends at the defensive end of the court. you know, we feel like, you know, we have some shooting with Tyler Polley and Christian Vitale, and, you know, Cook can shoot it, and Book Knight can shoot it, and Gaffney and Altari can all shoot it. Brendan Adams can shoot it. We've got a big guy, a really good big that we could throw it into, and Josh Carlton, who's a really good center from a playmaking and a guy that could just kind of create offense, you know, with the dribble, which is an incredibly valuable asset. When the shot clock's running down, a lot of time you just got to be able to give it to somebody like Jalen Adams or an Altari Gilbert. So identifying more playmakers, guys that could get their own shot or create offense, you know, is an area where we're struggling to find somebody beyond Altari, beyond James Book Knight, Jalen Gaffney. We got to find more guys that could create offense off the dribble.
What question haven't you received yet from someone in the press that you think they should ask?
I don't say there is one, man. I've never seen a college team get covered in terms of the media locally and nationally. This is a unique place. You know, there's not an appearance that I make throughout the state or anything that we do that goes unnoticed. It's a blessing and a curse. And when you're doing well, it's an incredibly blessing, the platform that you have here at UConn, the history, again, the brand, what it means locally in state, what it means nationally. You know, when you do good, there's no greater platform for you to create an incredible brand for yourself as a coach and as a player. You do bad, you know, you see the flip side of that, and you know, both by your play on the court and with your actions off the court. So I would just say the media intensity for somebody that grew up as a Hurley in Jersey with, you know, an incredibly well-known family, both in-state and known nationally, sports crazy environment, I've been knocked on my heels by how big UConn basketball is here in the state.
Coach, thanks very much.
No, I appreciate you. Thanks for having me.
UConn! UConn!